king, and my mother was your sister, and this lady was my grandmother. So we are kin, whether you like it or not. If you can indeed detect identity by the smell of the blood, then you will smell another immortal's blood on this, and on the Queen's sword and Duke Verakai's as well.
Do you dare accuse an elf?
Amrothlin asked. He still trembled like a candle flame, but his voice had calmed.
The one who did this could appear without walking through a door. Its mien seemed elven at first, and also its magery, a glamour of the same sort as the lady was wont to cast. Yet it was like no elf I have known in its malice and determination to kill the lady. I believe you name such Ionesin. In Saya, we call them Kuak Nomi.
Amrothlin glared.
We do not speak of them.
He looked over his shoulder, then back to Kiri.
Who was here at the time?
Later, Kiri said. Voices rose in the corridor, angry, frightened, demanding. Time to take command.
Uncle, this is not the time for questions. I am the king, and I am not your enemy, nor the lady's. People are frightened. I must speak to them.
Before Amrothlin could answer, he raised his voice and called to those beyond the room.
The danger is over for now. I, the king, am alive, and the queen is safe here with me. Those of you in the corridor, fetch the palace physicians for the wounded. The rest disperse, but for the queen's squires assigned to the queen today and one Kuak gone. Put by your swords.
The elves by the door looked at Amrothlin, who said nothing, and then at Kiri again and finally put up their swords. Two queen's squires made their way into the room and edged through the elves to Arian's side. Doran had already moved to one of the wounded squires.
This one first, Sir King. Both are sore wounded, and though I tried, I cannot heal them.
Kiri knelt beside her. When he laid his hand on the man's shoulder, he felt nothing but a heaviness.
Nor I,
he said, standing again.
I must be more worn than I thought.
The noise outside diminished.
I will tell the whole of it to Amrothlin,
Kiri said to the elves.
Two may remain. The rest of you go and make what preparations you need make for the lady's rest.
He knelt beside the other squire, yet felt no healing power in himself. Sighing, he stood again. Amrothlin's stony expression did not change, but he did not contradict Kiri. With a wave of his hand, he sent most of the elves away. Now the carnage showed more clearly. The pools of blood, the stench of blood and death, bloody footprints on the fine carpet, what looked like scorch marks, the dead. The lady, Damaroth, another dead elf whose name Kiri did not know, Tomarik's twisted and shrunken body, and the two Ionesin Kiri and Arian and Doran had killed. Arian's clothes were as blood-stained as his own, and Doran, though she had not knelt in any blood, still had splashes on her shirt and sword hand.
More dead elves, one of the other elves said, bending to examine them.
Then he stiffened, turning back to Amrothlin.
My lord, these are not elves. They are what the king said.
Amrothlin, still looking at Kiri, said,
Is this what you fought? Did you kill it?
That is another it split from its body after it killed Seer Tolmarek, Kiri said.
Look at Tolmarek, look at its body, and if you can explain how that was done, I will be glad.
Amrothlin turned and walked over to Tolmarek's remains.
This was human?
He sounded more worried than angry now.
Yes, the Ionesin did that with a touch of its blade to his throat. He was already bespelled by the lady, as I said, and helpless. Where were you?
There, Kiri pointed. He told of questioning Seer Tolmarek, the lady's interruption, and then the appearance of the Ionesin. He insisted on using the name, though Amrothlin flinched every time, and its taunting of the lady and attack.
I had just taken such a blow.